It's great to be here. Why don't you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And like Raph said, we've met through Dave Shirley. I pastor a church called Calvary Chapel Canyon Hills. It's maybe 15 miles from the campus in Murrieta. And Esteban's been feeling Spain on his heart for a long time. So I just said, hey, let's go. Like, we just need to go. And so we're here for only a week, and we're loving it. Truly, we felt the hospitality, the love from you guys. Truly, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, is a beautiful bride worldwide. Jesus said, by your love for one another, the world will know that you're my disciples. And Raph almost couldn't get you guys from stop talking to each other. It's just cool. It's great to see the love, and it's unique, and it's just a testimony of what the Holy Spirit's doing here in your midst. It's a wonderful thing to see. Before we get into it really quick, you'll have to pardon my voice. It's a little hoarse. Last night, we went to the Mallorca-Bilbao football game, and I wanted to root for the home team, but Mallorca's so horrible that I ended up yelling. I was so frustrated with the team, and so my voice is kind of gone. And plus, I think Raph's getting the whole church sick anyway, so that's kind of it. Before we pray, we're going to read just a few portions of Scripture. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And then lastly, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, a substitutional death, taking the penalty that we deserve to pay. Lord, thank you for rising from the grave and offering us the promise and the assurance of eternal life. And Lord, our hearts today are in a position where we want to be humble. We want to decrease so that you, Jesus, can increase. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. We invite you in our hearts that you would come and magnify Christ to us. Holy Spirit, would you come and reveal Jesus to us, where Jesus, we would see you and know you and be filled with you. And God, we also understand that you know each person here. You know the deep things hidden down in people's hearts, the things that each person is wrestling with, dealing with. Lord, you know who is in this room who is deeply hurting. So, Lord, we pray that you'd begin to heal them and touch them. Even now, begin to speak to them. Lord, you know who is discouraged, that just needs some encouragement from you today. Lord, would you begin to encourage your people? Lord, there might happen to be someone here who's struggling with some secret sin that nobody else knows about. Maybe their own spouse doesn't even know about it. But God, you know about it. Today, Holy Spirit, would you come and probe and convict and point out sin that we may repent and get right with you and be cleansed before you. Lord, whatever each person is dealing with, begin to meet each person's need. Begin to speak appropriately. God, we want to hear your voice. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see. Help us to tune in to the spiritual dimension of reality. Because that's where you are, and that's where your voice is. And we want you to speak. So come. Do a tremendous work through your word today. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And we say this together. Amen. As we begin, in verse 18, it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Today, I want to talk to you guys about transformation. Transformation is really the key thing that I really want to focus on. And it says here in verse 18, we all, so the invitation is for all of us, have an unveiled face. So the theme or the emphasis is that the veil over our eyes has been removed so that we can see God. Now, our image of God, the way we see God, has been damaged because of sin. I mean, think of how corrupted mankind's viewpoint is of God. I mean, think of all the religions that are around the world, or even some people have some form of a belief in Christ, but it's corrupted, it's tainted. And it's because sin is dwelling in this earth and it's within the members of our body. But we can be repaired. And that's what Paul's talking about here. When he says we're being transformed, he's teaching us about this process of this practical restoration. That over time, the way we view God, the way we see God, is repaired. Now, we are already positionally restored through salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. If you got saved 30 years ago, you're just as saved now positionally as you were back then. But this practical, applicable restoration happens progressively over time. You guys understand what I'm talking about? So today, I want your minds to dive deep into this understanding of what it means to be continually and progressively transformed. You guys ready? Yeah? Give me a nod. You guys ready? You got your morning espresso in you? Great. First of all, verse 18 is telling us that real transformation happens in your life as you day by day, week after week, continue to see God beyond the veil. It says here that when you see God, His glory is like a mirror. His glory is like a mirror. That when you look at God, when you have those moments when you're really seeing God, whatever you see in that moment starts to transform you into the same thing that you're seeing. Do you know that you can't see God without being radically changed by Him? That when you truly get glimpses of God, you're not the same prior to that moment of having seen Him. And so have you ever had those times when you're praying and you're asking God for stuff and it's kind of a selfish prayer and Jesus stops you and He just says, "Hey, just look at me. Just see me. That's all I want you to do. Just look at me. Look at me on the cross. Look at me there. Look at what I did for you." And He says, "Do you see my glory? Do you see my love?" And then as you're looking and as you catch this glimpse of the love of Christ, then what happens? That changes you a little bit. You grow in love because you've just been exposed to His love, and that's what you're seeing from Him. It's amazing. And then He says something like, "Look at me rising from the grave. Do you see that pitch black dark room? And can you imagine the stone being rolled over and the light that was shed coming out of that dark tomb?" And He's like, do you see me like walking out of that tomb? I picture him like his like hair's flowing in the wind. He's like cool, you know, like Jesus has cool hair like Mike. That's cool hair, huh? It's like Jesus just, you see him like bursting out of the tomb. Sorry, bro. And he's like, can you see me alive in that moment? And when you get a glimpse of the power of his resurrection, that changes you a little bit. And then you read how God is slow to become angry. And when you see God that way, you then start to become a little bit harder to aggravate. In the scriptures, my wife has seen over and over how Jesus was patient with idiots. And that's allowed us to have a pretty awesome marriage. It's great. It's great. It allows her to be extremely Christ-like to me. And so as you continue to go beyond the veil, looking at God and seeing these different aspects of who he is, you progressively begin to change. And what's happening is you're being restored back into that original relationship that Adam had with God in the garden. When Adam saw God in a perfect way, Adam saw God without corruption, without anything getting in the way, infiltrating his mind, deceiving him from seeing who God truly was. And we all still have our moments where, you know, we doubt God or have you ever dealt with the justice of God? I mean, honestly, haven't you ever said, if this is happening, God, how can you be fair? And we have these moments and we're on this journey of just, you know, reasoning with God and understanding these things. Well, the more you see God, the more you're in his presence, your doubts that come into your mind become less frequent. And you're truly being restored back into this relationship that Adam had where you're seeing God in a pure way, in a truthful way. It says here you're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now, when it says from glory to glory, it actually means from one degree of glory to another. So, step by step, season to season, lesson to lesson, all from these individual moments of catching glimpses of God. Because remember, you cannot see God without being changed by him. It's kind of like this. You know those rare, awesome moments in life where you see something or you experience something and you'll always remember it? You'll never be the same by it? Maybe like a really awesome sunset. You know, for part of my honeymoon, my wife and I got to go to Florence, Italy. And there's this overlook in the city. We'd had an amazing day. We'd walk through these gardens and it was just perfect. And at the end of the day, we went to this overlook where you can see the whole city. You can see the river and the Ponte Vecchio Bridge. And there was this amazing sunset that God painted. And forever, that's in me. Forever, I'll remember that, you know? There's just those moments in life where you remember certain days more than others. I can't imagine what it was like here when Spain won the World Cup. You know, for some of you guys, you'll never forget that moment. And you know, for other people, it's music, a concert, or maybe it's art. Whatever it is, the point is that everyone's had moments where you've seen or experienced something and it gets in you. And it's just awesome to you. You know what I'm saying? Well, with God, he wants you to see his glory. He wants you to see his glory. He wants you to have continual moments where you're getting it. These moments where he's blowing your mind with who he is, where you are just starstruck and in love with him because of his glory. Because you're meeting with him in an honest way. Do you know you can't get bored with God? He's awesome. He's awesome. He's amazing. And so if there's even one person in this room, if there's one person in this room, and if you happen to feel bored with God today, You know, maybe someone doesn't even know it, but you're just kind of bored with God. I mean, you're here kind of going through the motions. You go to church. You think everything's good. But in reality, you're not in the Word. You see other people worshiping and they're having a great time and you're just kind of checked out mentally. Maybe you're even kind of trying, but it's just not there. If you're not into Him, if you'd rather be doing something else, then it means that you're veiled. It means that you're not understanding because you're blinded. And if you want to fix that, then you need to start looking at Jesus. That's where it starts. You need to start seeking after Jesus, because all of the thrills of life combined, whether it's sex or drugs or whatever this world has, if you combine all of it together, it just cannot compare to Christ, because He's awesome. It's like, if you can show me something better than Jesus, I'll leave Him and I'll take it. I mean, if you can give something to me that can fill my heart and fill my mind and fill my being with so much love and joy and grace and acceptance, if you can show that to me, then I'll leave it. But there is nothing. It's Him. He's it. Amen? He's it. And honestly, guys, I can remember a seasons, but one major season in my own life where I was going to church and, you know, I was learning information and I talked a lot about God, even verbally, but it never really went past my brain. I was just going through the motions, but never really connecting with God spiritually. And I wasn't really seeing Him for who He truly was. And for me, this is just for me, it could only be a surface level thing for so long until I got really bored and checked out. You know, seriously, there's enough thrills, there's enough surface level things out there in the world to satisfy my physical senses. That if there's no spiritual dynamic in my life, if my spirit is not engaged with God's spirit, then sleeping in or going to the beach on Sunday was way better for me than going to church. You guys understand? If you're not seeing God, what is the point of Christianity or going to church? If you're not seeing Christ and engaging with Him in a living way, it can only be surface level so long before you start to go to other things. And so that was me. And so, let me ask you a question. Do you really believe that God is knowable and He wants you to know Him? Just look at your own heart. Do you really believe God wants you to know Him and to see Him every day? You know, it would be pretty messed up for God to say, "Seek me and you'll find me," and then He plays hard to get. That's not God, okay? He doesn't say, "Seek me, you'll find me," and then you seek Him and He's nowhere to be found. That's just not Him. He wants you to know Him. And through salvation, He's given you spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to see Him and hear Him. And it's almost like God's just saying, use what you got. I've given you what you need to live a radical spiritual life. It's just like, let's say physically, what if Messi never used his legs to play football? I mean, what if he sat on the couch and was a bum his whole life? Never used his legs. It would be a waste. It would be a waste of potential, right? He gets up every day and he uses what he's got. And so it's almost like God saying spiritually, use what you got. Because I've given you so much. And just use the spiritual resources I've given to you. Because He's given us spiritual eyes, spiritual ears. And all we have to do is dial in to the right frequency. And we just got to concentrate, tune in until we're tapped into that spiritual dimension of reality. Because that's where God is. That's where His voice is. That's where His presence is. And so you got to dial in. The glory of God can be realized by us when we see the face of Christ, when we're seeing Him, beholding Him. It's amazing. Something else I'd like you to consider this morning is that it says God's presence is like a mirror. What does that mean exactly? Well, mirrors show you what you really look like, unfortunately. Maybe there's some of you, at least one of you, this has happened to you, where you've been hanging out with a bunch of people, having a great time, laughing, and you think you're like the life of the party, and all of a sudden you go to the restroom, you go to the toilet, and you look in the mirror, and there's this massive booger, like right at the edge of your nose, and you're like, what? Are you kidding me? And then you start to think back in your evening, you're like, well, no wonder they couldn't make eye contact. Why were they looking down? And you're like, why didn't my friends tell me? It's like, I thought you guys were my friends. You couldn't tell me, like, when I had, like, a big nasty booger in my nose? You know what I mean? Like, you know who your true friends are. And you're being a true friend when you see a boogie or, like, a massive pimple or, like, a piece of pepper in their teeth or maybe even their zippers down. You know what I'm talking about? A true friend will help a brother out, you know? Well, here's the thing. Jesus is a true friend. He's a true friend. He's just like a mirror. They both will never lie. And when we look at Christ, when we look at His Word, it's a mirror. And it shows us what we really look like. When you spend time with Jesus, He'll show you the gross spots in your heart. Have you ever been reading the Bible and you're like, la, 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 do-do-do, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's like, wham! And He pokes you in your heart and you're like, oh, that's gross. That's really in me? I didn't realize that was inside me. You can't read the Bible without being confronted by God. I mean, I guarantee you, it doesn't matter where you read. You open from Genesis to Revelation. I give you 15 minutes anywhere in the Scripture. If you're really reading, you're going to come across a passage of Scripture where God confronts you, where He challenges you, where He shows you something inside your heart, because, you know, our bodies are a temple. And we have deep chambers within us. And, you know, God sees those deep down chambers where we have stuff hidden. You know, it's easy to sweep things underneath the rug of our hearts sometimes. And when Jesus comes inside of us, you know, He doesn't just want the guest bedroom. You know, He wants to take over. He's like, I want to be king. I want the master suite. And He'll start to open up those little closets. He'll start to open up those little things and those issues from the past. Those insecurities that we're not really okay to deal with. He starts dealing with all those things inside of us because He's a true friend. And guys, it's like this. When you go to the restroom and you look at a mirror and you see a big nasty piece of pepper in your teeth, it's not like you sit there in self-denial over the thing. You know, like, oh, I didn't really see that. Oh my gosh. There's not a piece of pepper in my teeth. No, you see it, and so you brush it out so it can be gone, right? And so Jesus never brings stuff up in order to bash us. He only brings it up so that we can confess it, so that He can brush it and cleanse it and get rid of it. Remember 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He's faithful to cleanse us when we confess our sins to Him. And so when you see God as in a mirror,